hopefully you found your place there in your Bibles this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'd like to draw your attention to verse number 3. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Notice verse number 3. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And our time together this evening, with the Lord's help, we'll look together from verse 3 down through verse number 14, if the Lord will permit. But at this time, for sake of time, we'll go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's blessing and help in the preaching time this evening. Our Father, I thank you so much for this humbling experience that it is to be here at First Baptist Church in Wayland, Missouri. Thank you for Pastor Dietrich. Thank you for Pastor Fox. Thank you for their families. Thank you for this entire church family. Thank you for their receptive, sweet, kind, and caring, opening arms, welcoming us into their church family for the week to serve them and to serve their young people and to serve alongside of them. I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we ask now that you would please bless the preaching of your word. I recognize tonight, Lord, that you don't need me. I do recognize that I desperately need you. So I pray for your help and power in these next few moments, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the message this evening is Revival in the House of Israel. Revival in the House of Israel. Revival is something that I have prepared some messages on and desire to preach messages on revival, not because I like going around just preaching messages on revival, because I know, as a matter of fact, the desperate need that I have in my own life time and time and time again to have revival in my heart, revival in my soul, revival in my mind. And revival, if we could sum it up in this, is a return to New Testament Christianity. We look at what the Lord did through the church in the book of Acts, and we look at how amazing that is. And I believe, folks, that we need to return to New Testament Christianity. We need to return to a love for God's word, a love for prayer. We look at what Paul said in the New Testament. He said, that I may know him. Him who? God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the verse goes on, but you think about that phrase alone, that I may know him. That I may know him. How are a couple ways that you and I as believers, as New Testament saints, as born again children of the Lord, how can we know the Lord better? By having a relationship, a love, a passion for the word of God. Having a love, a devotion, and a passion for spending time with the Lord in prayer. I believe tonight, folks, here at First Baptist Church in Wayland, Missouri, if we are men and women of being a lover of Scripture, we'll be in the place of personal revival. We are in the place of being a lover of prayer. We'll be a person that's in the state, in the moment of personal revival in our Christian lives. I think about the children of Israel. They were involved in this repetitious cycle throughout so often of their history that we read here in the Bible in Genesis through Revelation. So often we read of the history of Israel and we find a cycle that they caved into so often. The Lord would do some great and mighty miraculous works in their midst. And then all of a sudden what would happen? They would get comfortable. They would see God do a miraculous work. They would see God part the Red Sea. They would see God give them manna from heaven. They would see water flowing from a rock. They would see time and time again, they would see miracles from God. And then they would get casual about their Christianity, so to speak. They would get comfortable in their way of living. And then they would go their own way, like we see here, serving gods like Ashtaroth, serving pagan, wicked, immoral, sensual gods like Ashtaroth and Balaam. They would serve wicked pagan gods. They would refuse the works of the Lord. They would refuse serving only the true God, Jehovah God. They would serve themselves. They would serve pagan, wicked gods. And then they would get themselves into trouble. They would get down into a pit. They would get themselves in trouble. And then they would cry out to God and confess their sins to the Lord. They knew they needed help. They would cry out to God and confess their sins. And God, who what? Who is rich in mercy. And we looked a little bit about that in Lamentations 3. A God who is merciful. A God who is compassionate. A God who is faithful. And those, the children of Israel, they would time and time again, they would go back to the Lord and they would confess their sins to God. And God, who is rich in mercy, rich in compassion, rich in his faithfulness, would forgive them of their sins, would forgive them of their transgressions. And aren't you glad that the same God that we read about in the Bible is the same God that we serve today, who is rich in mercy, rich in compassion, rich in faithfulness. We as believers, if we confess our sins to God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, to literally wash us clean, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Children of Israel, they saw that time and time again. They would have God's deliverance. And then they would get casual and comfortable in their sin, serving, worshiping other gods, false gods. And then they would get into sin and they would get into big time trouble. And then they would call upon God and they would ask for the Lord's forgiveness, and God and his rich mercy would forgive them their sin. But I find in my own life, how often is that said of Joe Delp? Where God wroughts a great deliverance, a great miracle in my Christian life. God does something great for my family. God does something great for my church. God does something great in my life, in my heart, in my soul, in my mind. God does something miraculous and wonderful. And then all of a sudden, I get a little bit casual. And I think, hey, I can do this on my own now. Things are pretty good. Things are pretty smooth. Things are pretty nice, pretty simple, pretty easy. Hey, I can figure things out on my own now. And I run into a brick wall and we cave into sin and we mess up and we fall down. And we look at how did I get back here? How did I get here? And then we call upon the name of the Lord, who is rich in mercy, compassion, and faithfulness, who is there with his loving, gracious, welcoming, forgiving arms ready to take us back up with that ready forgiveness. I think of, or I should say this, before we point the finger at the children of Israel so often, may we look in the mirror. That's often what I need to do. Look in the mirror. And I find often in our Christianity today, it is so easy to be susceptible to Pharisaism and a critical spirit. It's so easy for me, so easy for us as believers to point our finger, to look down our nose at somebody who's not like us, who doesn't dot their I's or cross their T's exactly like we do. And often the Lord would have us to look in the spiritual mirror. What's that mirror? The mirror of God's word. And the Lord will point out flaws in my own life so often. The Lord will point out areas in my life where, hey Joe, why in the world are you trying to point out that little mote in somebody else's eye when there's a big fat beam in your own eye? May God help us to be watchful, to not go down that road. But the children of Israel here, we want to look at just a couple things that they were facing. And right here, when we get to verse number 3 down through verse 16, they're hearing from Samuel, Brother Samuel, Preacher Samuel here. They're hearing a word from the Lord. Boy, they're hearing a powerful message. They're hearing a challenge. They're getting some rebuke, wouldn't you say? They're hearing the word of the Lord preached to them in a very bold way, in a very powerful way. There is no sugarcoating going on in this challenge, this charge from Samuel. I'd like to look at just briefly, four things that we see takes place here with the children of Israel. Of course, many, many different stories of revival throughout the life of the children of Israel. But just in this one alone, in 1 Samuel 7, I want us to look at four things of how they saw revival at this specific time in their history and in their life right here in their dealings with Samuel. And I'd like to notice, number one, the repentance. Number one, the repentance. And the majority of our time will be spent on this first point because I find too often in Christianity today that we don't make a very big deal anymore about the biblical mandate of repentance. Think about the day that you got saved. The Bible says that we need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord. And there must be, by way of salvation, there must be biblical repentance, where there must be a change of mind. And I praise the Lord for the day that the Lord saved me, October the 12th of 2010, when I repented of my sins, there was a change of mind. My faith was not in my good deeds. My faith was not in church attendance. My faith was not in putting money in an offering plate. My faith was not growing up in a Christian home. My faith was in the finished work at Calvary, the death, burial, and resurrection of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there was repentance in need of my salvation. And hey, since you're a believer, now that you're a child of God, we should not lose sight of this biblical mandate of repentance. Not to continually get saved. Praise the Lord, once you've been saved, you're always saved. And praise the Lord, you can never lose your salvation. And we thank the Lord for that. But hey, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So to have proper fellowship with the Lord, we must keep short accounts with God. So when times in my life where I mess up, where I fall down on my face and I cave into sin, I instead of resisting the devil and him fleeing from me, I cave into sin. And unfortunately, at times in my life, yielding to the lust of the flesh, yielding to the lust of the eyes, yielding to the pride of life, there are times as a believer where I must follow in biblical repentance to have that proper fellowship with the Lord. And in reference for the children of Israel here to get back to proper fellowship with the Lord, they needed to repent of some things. They needed to repent of some sin in their life. Like you notice verse number three, it says, Samuel speaking here, and it says in verse three, it says to return unto the Lord. Do you see that? Verse three, return unto the Lord. This gives the obvious fact that there was a time when they were with the Lord. This gives the obvious fact that there was a time when they were worshiping the Lord only. It gives the fact that there was a time where the children of Israel were serving the Lord only. But they got tired. They got weary. They got too busy. They took their eyes off the Lord. They got a taste of the things of the world. They lost their focus. They lost their fight. They lost their heart. Which now reveals their desperate need for revival. Return unto the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to return unto the Lord. May God help us, First Baptist Church of Wayland, to return to the Lord tonight. Return to the Lord. We need to remember some scripture references that the Lord would have us to remember this evening. Remember 2 Chronicles 15 and verse number 7, where the Bible says, "Be strong, therefore. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Amen. Remember Isaiah 41 verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Remember Galatians 6:9. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." Remember Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Remember Hebrews 11 verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Remember Hebrews 12 and verse 1. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Samuel continues on in verse number 3. After he says, "Return unto the Lord," what's that phrase? "With all your hearts." With all your hearts. We're living in a day of half-hearted Christianity. Wouldn't you believe that? Wouldn't you say that tonight? Living in a day of half-hearted Christianity. May God help us here at First Baptist Church of Wayland to be full-hearted serving Christians. That will go all out, that will put our hands to the plow, that will serve God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, that will love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Samuel continues again in verse number 3 with this challenge to then put away, uses those two words there, put away. The people of Israel need to put away some things, which means this, they needed to repent of some things, a change of mind. "I fell into idolatry by worshiping strange gods. I fell into idolatry by worshiping Ashtaroth," verse 3. "I fell into idolatry by worshiping Balaam," verse number 4. "But now we've heard the charge. We've heard the preaching. We've heard the command given to us by Samuel. We've heard the word of the Lord that these are false gods. They aren't real. These are pagan gods. They are evil, wicked, impure. They're idols that must be what? Put away." They must be put away. Now, you and I don't worship Ashtaroth and Balaam. But what are the strange gods that we cave into worshiping so often in our Christian life that take the place of the one who ought to be on our heart's throne 100% of the time? No, they may not be strange false gods of wood or of stone. But is it the strange god of laziness or slothfulness tonight that we worship? Is it the strange God of pornography that we may worship? Is it the strange God of bitterness that we may worship this evening? Is it the strange God of a Pharisaism or a critical spirit that we worship this evening? Is it the strange God of a sport or a sports team that we worship tonight? Is it the strange God of a slanderous, backbiting, ridiculing tongue that we worship? And I'm telling you, folks, that is something that is absolutely killing churches today. Backbiting and ridiculing and talking behind other brothers and sisters in Christ, talking about them behind their back. It's slander. It's evil. It's wicked. May God help us to not do that. Is it the strange God of dishonesty, lying, untruthfulness? Is it the strange God of selfishness or pride or envy or what someone else may have, what someone else may possess? Folks, we could go on and on and on and on of what some of these things may be, some of these strange gods that may be in our life. The fact of the matter is that anything that is on the throne of our heart where only God belongs, we can call it like it is. It's a strange God. It's a strange God that ought not to be on our heart's throne. It must be put away. We must repent. When Israel put away these strange gods, it wasn't meant to be put on a shelf only to be returned to later. When they put away these strange gods, it wasn't in a closet only so that they could reconnect with it after so-called worship was done with. When they put away these strange gods, they weren't put away at an arm's length only to be dabbled with at a more convenient time. They had a change of mind by saying, Jehovah God is the one true God. We turn away from the strange gods and we, in faith, return unto the Lord. So the people repented. Next, Samuel says in verse number 3, prepare your hearts unto the Lord. You see that in verse 3? Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. When you go to the Lord to repent of sin, let me ask you this question tonight. And asking myself the question as well. When we go to the Lord to repent of sin, to keep short accounts with the Lord, to make sure that we're right with the Lord so there's not a block in fellowship. When we go to repent of sin, to confess our sins to the Lord, how's your attitude? How's your posture? We heard this morning, we saw Jonah's posture today. How's your posture when you go to talk to the Lord, the creator of the universe, the giver and sustainer of life? The one who took from the dust of the ground and breathed in the man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. Your creator, your redeemer, your king. How is your attitude towards him when you approach the throne of grace? Folks, when we confess our sin to the Lord, he knows that we're coming to him in ritual or in true brokenness. We know the verse, Psalm 51 and verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Praise the Lord for David's testimony of coming clean and getting right with the Lord. May we not go to God in an arrogant, self-centered, entitled, egotistic, prideful, self-centered, arrogant type of way tonight. May we come to the Lord tonight. If we have aught, if there is something between our soul and the Savior, may we humbly come before the Lord tonight in brokenness over our sin. Samuel continues this charge in verse number 3 by saying, serve him only. Serve him only. Folks, when we say we're serving God, and yet we have strange gods or idols in our life, we're living in hypocrisy and doing a disservice to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But praise the Lord, there's a promise. Praise the Lord, there's a promise that we get to here at the end of verse number 3. Says in the end of verse number 3, that he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. I can encourage you folks with this evening. You may have enemies in your life, or there may be certain besetting sins in your life that are enemies in your life, keeping you from close and intimate communion with your Lord. Can I tell you tonight, the Lord wants to deliver you from those enemies tonight. The Lord wants to deliver you from those besetting sins this evening. Praise the Lord for this promise that he will deliver us out of the hand of from our enemy. He'll deliver the people of Israel here from the hand of the Philistines. Notice verse number 5. Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. Don't want to labor on this point very long, but see there in verse number 5 where it says, Samuel says, I will pray for you. And hey, folks, don't forget that this evening, that you have a pastor that prays for you. And never take that for granted. I thank the Lord for my pastor who prays for me. And we don't want to take for granted that gift from the Lord. Notice verse number 6. They gathered together to Mizpah and drew water. An example here of their getting right with the Lord. Their sincerity, their seriousness of coming clean and worshiping the Lord and confession of sin. They gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. I noticed that they fasted. They were serious about the sin that had been preached about. They were serious about it. And notice this, that when you're really serious about a certain matter of prayer, it'll often result in fasting over it. I notice often in Christianity, we often talk about some extreme prayer requests that we have. Whether it's an illness of a family member, maybe it's a family member who's lost, unsaved, without the Lord. I could ask you simply this evening, when's the last time that you fasted over that lost family member who's without Christ? Somebody that you're truly burdened over, how many times have you fasted where you've given up a meal during the day, or you've given up all meals throughout a day? Food and water, you've given that up throughout a day or for a certain time throughout the day and given up that specific time that you would have been eating or having a meal and given that time solely to prayer for that individual that you're burdened for. I notice in our Christian life things that we are truly burdened for. We truly want to see God do a moving and a miraculous work. It'll often result in fasting. So they're serious about this getting right with the Lord. They're serious about having personal revival. So as we look into a revival in the house of Israel, we see that Samuel charged them to return unto the Lord with their whole heart, and they did that. Praise the Lord. Samuel charged them to put away the strange gods, and they did that. Praise the Lord. Samuel charged them to prepare their hearts before approaching God. They did that. Samuel charged them to serve the Lord only. Praise the Lord for this preaching. What was the promise in verse 3? He, God, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Do you want to be delivered from your enemies this evening? Do you want to be delivered from wickedness, from a besetting sin? I can encourage you this evening, return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord with all your heart. Put away any strange gods that are in your life. Things that are on your heart's throne that ought not to be there, where only the Lord ought to be. Prepare your hearts before approaching our holy God. Don't go to the Lord with a flippant attitude, with a sarcastic, entitled mentality, with our hands open. Gimme, 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 God. But let us go before the Lord with a contrite heart, with a humble heart, with a broken heart. I always remember my former pastor in Pennsylvania, my Paul, the one who took me under his wing and mentored me for so many years. I always remember hearing him pray. It was something beautiful to always listen to. Whenever someone would ask him to pray, often I wondered if he just simply didn't hear the person ask him to pray because there was always a long pause. Come to find out later on that he always would pause before he would pray just to make sure that he was ready to approach the throne. He was ready to approach a holy God. He was ready to approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May God help us tonight before we pray, before we just go to the Lord and pray, to make sure our heart is right before the Lord, that there's not known sin in our life. Just remember that verse, Psalm 66:18. If I have known sin, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me when I pray. And obviously the Lord delights in hearing our prayers. And we see there in the context of Psalm 66 how the Lord did hear that individual's prayer because that person, the psalmist, was right with the Lord. So praise the Lord for God's deliverance over enemies or over wickedness or sin in our lives. So number one, we see the repentance. And then these last couple points will be very quickly, and I'll give them to you and we'll be done this evening. Number two, the reward. This is where it's exciting. Number two, the reward. This is a great part of the story here in the life of the children of Israel. The reward here. Notice verse number 7 together as we look at these verses. When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. I'm glad to know that God always keeps his word. Amen. God said at the end of verse 3 that he would deliver them. And in fact, in verses 7 through verse 11, God in fact did deliver the children of Israel from their enemy, from the Philistines. I'm glad to know that God keeps his word, Joshua 23 and verse 14. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. You know the verse Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. And the people obeyed God's word here. They obeyed the word of the Lord. And they see the power of God manifested in their midst. I notice how they see the power of God. They see the miracle. They see this demonstration of God's power in their midst after they repented. After they got right with the Lord. After they were now experiencing personal revival because they had heard the word of the Lord preached to them. They had repented of their sins, and now they are seeing God work in a mighty and a powerful way in their midst. Often I find the reason we don't see revival a lot in our day and age, and often we don't see revival in a lot of our churches today, is because this book is not being obeyed. And if we want to return to revival, we need to return to being good stewards of this book, obeying the word of the Lord. And we're thankful for the testimony of these people here, how they obeyed the word of the Lord. Often we say, I love the Bible. The fact of loving the Bible is the result of obeying the Bible. And we know the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says in the New Testament, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So the people obey. They obey the word of the Lord. And then we see what happens in verse number 10. I love the word picture in verse number 10. It says the Lord made the Philistines, it says, uses the word discomfited them. God discomfited the enemy. I like to think of it this way. The Lord made the Philistines very uncomfortable. In other words, God annihilated the enemy. God destroyed the enemy. God brought them down. God crushed the enemy. And folks, there's a day coming when our enemy, the devil, once and for all will be defeated. And praise the Lord, we understand, we've read the last chapter in Revelation. We know that he's already a defeated foe. We know that the devil's already been determined as the loser. We know that the bell has already been rung, so to speak. Our enemy gets knocked out in the end, and we praise the Lord that our Savior Jesus Christ always wins. And we thank the Lord for this truth. So number one, the repentance. Number two, the reward. Number three, the rejoicing. This is really exciting in verse number 12. Here's the rejoicing. A very beautiful verse here, a verse that we are all very familiar with. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The people are now rejoicing. This is an act of their worship to the Lord for the victories that God had wrought on their behalf. Let me ask you tonight, can you look back into your life and see victories that the Lord has done in your life? No doubt you can tonight. You can look back in your life and see victories that God has done, miracles that the Lord has wrought in your life. Since those victories of the Lord, have you placed an Ebenezer stone of remembrance somewhere? For you to pass by and see that stone of remembrance and remember the victories that the Lord has done in your life. Hey, can your children walk past a place in your life and see that stone of remembrance setting somewhere? And they too will see and remember victories that God had wrought in your life. And it will transform in their life an act of worship to the Lord. And they'll understand victories that God had done in your life. How about your grandkids? Can your grandkids walk past a place in your life and find an Ebenezer stone that you've set somewhere. And then they, in turn, will begin to worship the Lord in their life as well. By God's grace, it'll result in each of us in a resounding statement here in verse number 12, saying this, that the Lord hath helped us. Praise the Lord that our God is a great help in time of need. Aren't you glad that the Lord is our helper? We think about that throughout the Psalms, where the psalmist will often say that the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my stay. The Lord is my strong tower. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my helper in a time of need. And so we see the people's rejoicing here. And just in closing, I'll give you the fourth and final point. We'll touch on this and be done together this evening. Number four, I'd like us to see the restoration. And we won't labor on this point very long at all, but number four, the restoration. And this is special to me for a specific reason, and I'll mention that here in just a moment. Notice verse number 13 with me together tonight. So the Philistines were subdued. They were crushed. They were annihilated. God destroyed them. They were subdued. Continuing in verse 13. And they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. From Ekron even unto Gath, the coast thereof, did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. You ask tonight, Brother Joe, why is these verses on this restoration, why is this special to you? Well, for me, and you can think of it, you can make the application in your own life. For me, I think of the city of Philadelphia. I think of a city that's currently without peace. A city under great destruction from our enemy, the devil. Rampant evil wickedness going throughout all the streets of Philadelphia. A place with very little peace. As we mentioned this morning, the city of brotherly love, very little love taking place on the streets of Philadelphia. I look at what God did by way of revival in the house of Israel. And by God's grace, I would love to hear of a revival work happening in local independent Baptist churches that are already there in Philadelphia. And by God's grace, if the Lord tarries and allows us to plant this church in the city of Philadelphia, in the neighborhood of Mayfair in the city, by God's grace, I would love that local New Testament church to be used of God in great and mighty ways to see an awakening, or a time of restoration take place in the city of Philadelphia or in parts of the city of Philadelphia, where the people return unto the Lord and they repent of their sin and they get right with God and they stop serving their gods of Ashtaroth or their gods of Balaam, and they stop serving pagan rituals, and they stop serving and worshiping Mary and a priest and Catholic rituals, which is rampant throughout the whole city of Philadelphia. But they'll stop serving religion and rituals, and they will turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They will turn unto the cross and hear the message of the gospel, the death of Jesus Christ, the burial and the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, and their lives pass from death unto life. I would love to see God do a work of restoration and true peace throughout the city of Philadelphia. That's why that verse alone, verses 13 and 14, are special to me. I want to ask you tonight, do you have maybe a city or a town? Maybe it's not even a city or a town. Maybe it's a family member or a neighbor, a coworker, someone in your life where there's a need for restoration. Maybe it's in your own life tonight, a need for restoration. May we turn to the Lord this evening and have true biblical revival, return to a love for hearing the word of the Lord. And may we cry out to the Lord by way of this prayer of the house of Israel. And we see how they repented and got right with the Lord. And may we get right with the Lord this evening ourselves. Why? Because the Lord has a reward for us. He has a reward available. He has rejoicing available in our lives. And he has restoration available. It was D.L. Moody who said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. With God's help, I'll be that man." Maybe you're a young person here tonight and you're not sure what the Lord has for your life, maybe the Lord's knocking on your heart's door, and maybe the Lord would have you this evening to surrender tonight wholeheartedly whatever the Lord would have you to do. Man, I encourage you to obey what God's telling you to do this evening. Hey, if you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've come to a great place. And there would be a number of us who would love to take God's word and open the Bible and show you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ this evening. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to put down some Ebenezer stones of remembrance for your family to see, for the next generation to see, and for you and your family and the next generation to know, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. May God help us tonight to have personal revival in our lives. Often people talk about America needs revival. And I agree to a certain degree that something needs to happen in America, but can I tell you right now, it's going to take Christians that get personal revival. The revival has to start in my heart. The revival has to start in your heart. We need to stop looking to a president or a government to have some type of revival. It needs to start in our hearts as believers, as children of God. And by God's grace, it would turn into a corporate revival in a church setting, a body of believers. And by God's grace, then and only then, it could impact a community. It could impact a neighborhood. It could impact a city. It could impact a nation. We see in the book of Acts how the Lord used a few men to see the world turned upside down. And praise the Lord that we have a God who is still in the business of sending out miracles all around us. And may we return to revival tonight and be men and women of a love for this book and a love of prayer. And may we return to the Lord tonight as the Lord talks to our hearts this evening.